I find that music's pretty helpful because it drowns out external noises to the best of our ability, and it allows them to focus inward. Yeah. When I do that. So oftentimes if I'm doing hypnosis as part of the session, typically when I do hypnosis, I'll just do it at the end of the session, or I'll say, okay, now we're going to do the hypnosis portion. So I may have done, by this time I've done reframing, I've done logical levels of therapy, I've done quantum linguistics, and then I'm just putting that on, and it's kind of like the icing on the cake if I'm going to do that. Yeah. Okay, so let's take a 15-minute break. Starts now. Ready to go. 8 o'clock. We'll see how we'll see how well you guys do on this next one.
Well, does that
have any bearing on? How well? Yeah, because if we don't have to repeat and review and yeah, good. Come on in. So how did that exercise just go? How did the element induction just go? Was it easy to do? Yeah. How'd you feel? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, and what do you say if the client scratches in the middle? What do you say? That's right. You can move however you need to move and just allow that to take you deeper. Yeah, good. Well done. Yeah, you can feel comfortable moving. Actually, sometimes I don't mind them feeling like maybe they can't move, because if you tell them up front, they'll move too much. But if they're wondering in their mind, should I move, should I not move, and then I give them permission there, then they'll move just a little bit. If they're moving too much, they'll be wiggling all over the chair. Yeah. Yeah, or you put them on a sofa. I prefer not to put them on a sofa just from the, I mean, I have, but I find that people are more likely to fall asleep and less attentive. So, and it's just, it's a personal preference, because some people like sofas. Perspective, I'd rather have them sitting like this, even if they're starting to feel at some point, wow, I've been sitting like this for a little while. Because they're going to be a little bit more attentive, a little bit more involved in the process, and they'll have less tendency to drift. And that's just my personal preference. Yeah. What else did you notice? What other questions, comments, concerns did you have about that? Yeah.
So in order to get someone in trance,
Yeah, did you notice how I was pretty much going by the script. I actually looked at the script a couple of times because I wanted to make sure that I was doing it close to what you guys were going to do. That's why you saw me peek over, because I wanted to make sure I was doing the right order. In relationship to how you would be going through the exercise. I'll string it all together. I'll usually use a combination of hypnosis whenever I'm doing hypnosis, whether it be Elman. Elman is actually my favorite. I like Elman's style, and I'll weave it together often with some Ericksonian language patterns if I'm going to do straight trance work. If I'm doing trance in a covert way and the person doesn't even know that they're in a trance, then it's going to be clearly more Ericksonian. Nowadays, sometimes my preference is to not even identify it as being trance. I'll just say, hey, close your eyes. Imagine yourself on a beach. And as you're on that beach, I won't tell them it's hypnosis or anything. If you tell somebody you're using hypnosis or trance, the stigma of hypnosis or trance can sometimes be useful, because it causes them to say, wow, there's some magic that's going to be happening. And sometimes it's just nice just to tell them to close their eyes and walk them through a closed eye process, knowing that the moment that they're in an altered state, such as imagining something, they're in a trance. Anything that presupposes trance causes trance. So the moment that you're imagining things, you're in a trance. You're in an altered state. That's why any of the processes that we do, whether we do a swish pattern or a submodality shift, that's a trance. That's an altered state. Yep. Yep, 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 yep. Now, what we're going to be doing is going into some of the, I'd like to teach you direct authoritarian hypnosis, so you can learn how to actually produce all of the deep trance phenomena. Now, it's going to be up to you to see how deep you can go. I would make it, if I were in your position, I would make my goal to see how deep can I really go? What can I produce? How powerful can my mind be? because that's what's going to lead up to your ability to producing all the deep trance phenomena. Typically with deep trance phenomena, you may find that you produce some of the, remember we looked at our sheet, let's look at page one again of our section six. When we're doing deep trance phenomena, there's different things that occur at various stages of hypnosis. So we might have arm catalepsy that occurs in a light to medium trance, or we might have number block that occurs in a medium trance. We might have negative hallucinations that occur in deep trance. Now the thing is that while we say that those happen at those levels of trance, sometimes you may get them at lighter levels of trance, and also sometimes you may find that you're able to produce some of the lighter trance phenomena. Maybe you'll miss a couple of medium trance ones where, like, you go for number block and that one just doesn't happen for you. Nonetheless, you're still able to do negative hallucinations, which is a deeper trance phenomena. So don't ascribe any meaning to it if you find that you don't do one or you don't do another, because you may still do some of the deeper level ones, even if you missed one. Know what I mean? So you go at it from that perspective. We'll be doing things like positive hallucination is seeing things that aren't there. Now, if you've ever seen a stage show, if you've watched hypnosis stage shows, you might have seen somebody where they said, okay, now I want you to imagine you see the tennis ball. Okay? Now, some of the words that they use are so overt that they're almost covert. They'll use words like imagine and pretend. They'll say, imagine that you see the tennis ball. Act as if you see a tennis ball. And as you look at that tennis ball, what color is it? That's right. Very good. It is yellow. Right? So the question is, do they really see a tennis ball when that happens? And I'll share with you, I don't think I've actually ever really seen the tennis ball. Right? Although I've imagined it so much so that it was just as if I was really seeing it. Now, I've done a lot of deep trance phenomena. Just about every type of deep trance phenomena that exists, I've done it. But nonetheless, when I'm looking at that, it's like I'm imagining, I'm acting as if. It's like I really see it there, although at some level I don't. It's kind of like that paradox where you know you can open your eyes, but at some level you don't or you can't. So it's paradoxical. So and that's what hypnosis is. It's all about that imagine and pretend state. But when you get into that state, that's how we also see in the Sage Show, that same person is able to go inside and become Liza Minnelli and sing like a rock star and really belt it out. Yeah, because they're in that imagined that uninhibited state, unfettered state, which also allows us the full resources of our unconscious mind. We've all heard the stories of the mother that lifts the car to save the baby. Where does she get that? Doesn't she always have that level of strength in her body, yet she hasn't accessed it? So our unconscious mind is extremely powerful. The question is, how do we tap into that? And the answer is some of the things that we're about to do. I will give you a demonstration, because I want to demonstrate the deep trance phenomena before we actually do it. Let's take a look at page 4 for a moment and our direct authoritarian induction.